Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
The scripture reading today is from Genesis 18, verses 1 through 8. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre. As he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day, he looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. He then took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bob, for reading the scripture this morning. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to invite others to the table. Amen. Well, it was mentioned to me this morning that I'm on a bit of a run of preaching at the Brighton campus. For those of you who have been here the last couple of weeks, I've been here, but I promise Pastor Lindsay is alive and well. She's doing well. She'll be back next weekend. So for some of you, you can let out a sigh of relief that she'll be back. And I wanted to begin this sermon series by talking about inviting other people to this table as we head towards Thanksgiving, as we head towards the holiday season. One of the things that we're called to engage in is this practice of hospitality, of welcoming other people into our spaces. And this story of Abraham is an example, perhaps, of something you may not want as we head towards this holiday season. Somebody just showing up at the house, not bringing a dish to pass, and just expecting to be waited on, you know, just welcomed to the table. This particular instance, it's God showing up in the presence of Abraham, which actually happens fairly frequently. God has this way of showing up in people's lives unexpectedly, without invitation, without preparation, and suddenly there God is in the form of these three individuals who show up at Abraham's tent and just sort of says, "Here I am, feed me." God didn't quite say that, but there are instances where God does. Another story in the New Testament comes from Luke's Gospel in chapter 19. It's the story of Zacchaeus, and I love this story as well. I want to share it with you this morning to give some additional context that this is just one of the ways that God does God's business. The story is of Jesus. It says, "He entered Jericho, and while passing through it, a man there named Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." I love this description of this man. "He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature." I don't know if anybody feels like they were just hit by a stray bullet there, right? Because it was sort of a joke about being short, so Zacchaeus has to climb up into a tree to see Jesus. "So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, 'He has gone to be the guest of the one who is a sinner.' Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, 'Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost. This is the word of God for the people of God, for which we say, thanks be to God. Can you imagine that? You go out of your way to climb a tree because you can't see Jesus. You're expecting him. You're excited for him. And suddenly he breaks rank with the walking through the particular community that he's walking through. And he looks and singles you out. Zacchaeus, come on down out of that tree, brother. I'm coming to your house. I'm staying there today. I need to eat with you right now. I'm going to impose myself on your comfort and security and whatever. I'm just going to show up. I hope you've got dinner ready. We need to eat together today. Maybe you have extended family members who are like this. By the way, I'm coming over today. Make your table longer for me today. I'm showing up. I'm here. Welcome me into your home today. It doesn't matter if you haven't dusted or cleared the cobwebs or, you know, cleaned everything up perfectly. I'm going to be in your house today. Anybody with me? That would make me feel mildly uncomfortable. It would put me on notice. I would start breathing more frequently and heavily. Okay, welcome to our house today, if you say so. There might be some of you who wouldn't be bothered by this. I know some people who would be. In the ancient world, people were taxed at an oppressive rate. Some people suggested that the taxes could be as high as 50% of people's living wage. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and in the ancient world, honestly, and I hate to even say this, but the only other profession that was on the same par as being a tax collector was being a person of ill repute, a prostitute in the ancient world. Those two professions were seen on par with one another. If you can imagine, Zacchaeus was literally one of the most hated people in town. He was a Jew in Jewish history that was collecting money oppressively from his own people. In this particular story, Jesus breaks rank, looks at this man, a tax collector, perhaps the most hated person in the entire town. Why? Because 90% of the people in Israel during Jesus' time lived in poverty. These were folks who were hungry, and it was his fault. They looked at Zacchaeus, and they thought, this is the man who's taking 50% of our wages. We can barely afford food for ourselves, and it's because of him. And Jesus breaks ranks, looks at him in the eye, and says, I need to eat a meal with you today. I'm going to change your life. He looks up at this man, and in one personal invitation, when Jesus says he's coming over, Jesus did what thousands of sermons from Pharisees and religious leaders couldn't do for Zacchaeus. He instantly softened his heart. All of a sudden, Zacchaeus says, if I've stolen anybody's resources, anything at all, if I've taken anything from anybody, I will repay it four times what they're owed. In the ancient Jewish world, it was appropriate to pay restitution if you stole from somebody and were found guilty at simply 20%. So suddenly, you can almost imagine Zacchaeus, this poor guy, climbing down out of the tree, getting called out by Jesus, getting down on his hands and knees and begging for forgiveness. Jesus, I'm so sorry. I climbed up in the tree just because I wanted to get a glimpse at you. You invited yourself over to my table, and now I'm repenting of that. I'm begging you to forgive me. I would love to repay anybody who I owe anything to you with four times what I owed them. What a miraculous transformation in Zacchaeus' life. It goes to show you, though, that an invitation to dinner can absolutely transform people's lives. Welcoming people into fellowship, into community, is one way that we break down barriers. If you think that we're divided now, I encourage you to do some research about what life was like in the ancient Jewish world, that our spiritual ancestors were so convinced that they could achieve a level of holiness and righteousness by separating themselves. The religious leaders in particular were the worst at this. They would separate themselves from people who were sinful, and Zacchaeus would have been foremost on that list. All of the religious leaders, the temple leaders, the Pharisees, anybody in Jesus' time would not have wanted to be caught dead eating a meal with Zacchaeus, because it was seen to be blending the holy and the pure and the righteous with the unclean. And in this particular time in history, it was absolutely unheard of that you would invite a tax collector to a meal, and yet that's precisely what Jesus did. Emphatically, "I'm coming to eat at your house today." Awkward. There are lots of ways that we invite people into fellowship in the modern world. Telling people, "I'm coming over to your house today," is not one of them. This sermon series about invitation, well, this is one of the ways that we can look at the Holy Scriptures and find a whole bunch of ways not to do things in the modern era. And yet, for the first 300 years of Christianity, it wasn't by handing out gospel tracts. It wasn't necessarily by reading people the scriptures or preaching sermons. The scriptures tell us that it was these tables that were set up, and people were invited into fellowship in ways that broke conventions with the ancient world. People were accepted at God's table that weren't welcome at anybody else's table. And that's what was so miraculous about the activities of the early church. Thinking about Zacchaeus, this tax collector, I find myself wondering, would I be the kind of person that would go out of my way to invite somebody who is, you know, maybe perhaps the most feared agent of the IRS over for dinner? Did you pay your taxes on this computer that you bought? You might imagine happening. Would I feel comfortable inviting the most ostracized or cast out person to sit and eat with me? While we don't have the same ritualistic purity codes, there are certain folks that we tend not to want to be associated with, and I can't underscore enough how countercultural and how incredibly transformational it would have been for Jesus to be a religious leader in the ancient world that broke ranks with all of those conventions and said, "We need to break bread together." If you know the word companion, co or com means with, and pan is the word for bread, so it means to eat bread with other people. A companion is somebody that you break bread with. We have so many words in the English language that relate to this idea of fellowship around the table, and so that's what Jesus does with Zacchaeus. He invites him to a table, his table, and it's a table of transformation, and in that moment he goes, "I no longer want to take or more than what I should be given. I don't want to skim anything off the top from these taxes. I don't want to take advantage of anybody anymore. In fact, I want to pay it all back." It says that he was a rich man and he had the means to be able to do this. His life was transformed in an instant over a table. The same thing happens to us today. Sometimes in the midst of a table conversation, we find ourselves in relationship, in close proximity with people with whom we deeply disagree. You might find yourself eating with a Democrat if you're a Republican, and you find yourself eating together, and you recognize that you might have some common ground that you didn't realize. It might be peripheral. It might be outside of what you expected. In many ways, by inviting people to the table, Jesus demonstrated an image of what the kingdom of God might someday be like, a place where even the most marginalized and outcasted person is welcome. An invitation to the table from Jesus was a complete reframing of what this world is supposed to be about. See, the crazy thing about Jesus inviting Zacchaeus to the table is by extraction or extrapolation, Jesus is also inviting all of us to the table. If Zacchaeus didn't feel like he belonged, the good news for us, friends, is that Jesus goes out of his way to also make sure that we all feel welcome to eat at God's heavenly banquet table. It's an invitation to all of us. If Zacchaeus is included, it means we're included too. Hospitality shouldn't be a position or responsibility relegated to people in a hotel industry. It was the way that this faith went from a couple of hundred of ragtag followers of Jesus right as he was crucified to converting nearly half of the Roman Empire in the first 300 years. They just kept inviting people to the table. Are you sure I belong? I'm a Roman. Are you sure I belong? I'm an emperor. Are you sure I belong? I'm a criminal. Are you sure I belong? I'm unclean. And people, our spiritual ancestors, just said, yes, come join us. Come eat with us. You're welcome at God's table. I wonder if there's anybody that you're feeling called to invite to the table of God. Is there anybody that if you ate with, if you remember the story of Zacchaeus, there was an audible groan from the entire crowd? The Greek word for it is gagosma, which is sort of like where we get the word gong from. If you were here last week, like the sound of a ringing bell, like there was this gong that went off when Jesus singled out Zacchaeus, this nasty, you know, judgmental sound from the entire crowd. Is there anybody that if you were found to be eating with them, your family, your friends, all of your community would be like, why are you eating with that person? Part of the challenge of our faith is that Jesus goes out of his way to go make sure that he ate with that person. And the last thing that I want to say about Zacchaeus' story is Zacchaeus is us. All of us have done things that we're ashamed of, that if they were like brought to the light, maybe everybody in the crowd would groan. Really, Jesus? You're eating with Pastor John? Really, Jesus? You're eating with him, her, them? And Jesus' response is an emphatic yes. It's one of the reasons why Jesus was run out of town, because he kept breaking this social convention. He kept creating community and relationship with folks that the community of his time was so much more comfortable pushing to the side and pretending that they don't exist. Who are you called to eat with today? Maybe it's a person who's housing insecure. Maybe it's an immigrant. Maybe it's somebody with a different political affiliation than yours. In a time of increasing division and separation, in a time where families get together around holiday meals and debate major issues of our time, maybe the table is the thing that can continue to draw us all together. And if you doubt this, I would simply point back to those first 300 years of Christianity when it was the table, when it was getting together and breaking bread and holding all of their possessions in common that absolutely transformed the world at that time. I believe it could happen again. The last thing I wanted to say about Zacchaeus' story is this peace around it happening right here and right now. Maybe you walked into the church this morning and you're like, it's snowing, I don't know if I want to come, it's nasty outside, it's Michigan, we're going into the winter. Stephanie Roser raised your hand in the back. That was me too, by the way. I'm not calling you out, that was me also. And you're just like going through the motions. Just like Zacchaeus, I kind of am curious. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to go to church. Who knows what might happen? The thing about this particular story in the Gospels and in the story of Abraham, like he's just going about his business and all of a sudden three people show up that are going to transform Abraham's life. Zacchaeus has this moment with Jesus where he goes, you have a chance to turn your life around today. I'm going to eat with you today. And Zacchaeus' life is completely transformed, which is one of the things that I love about God's activity in the world is in an instant, in a moment, over one meal, your entire life can be changed. And we don't know the rest of Zacchaeus' story, but he's willing to write checks in that moment to make up for what he had done that was wrong. And I guess my thing this morning is, if that's you, if you're ready to transform your life, I encourage you to invite Jesus to your table, because you'll never be the same after that meal. Maybe you came here this morning and you're in a place where you don't know what the next step is. I encourage you to invite people into the table that make you feel uncomfortable, because I think that's the table that Jesus is sitting at. Thanks be to God for a table that's welcome for me and welcome for you as well. Amen.
was wonderful. I was thinking this week about how busy our church is, and there's something going on here almost every day of the week, sometimes many, many things. So that's a lot of invitation opportunities, right? There's so many things going on. I hope you'll find one that that you enjoy. Will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Let's pray. God of abundance, we give thanks and praise for the ways you knit together a world of biodiversity and interdependence. We marvel at the way life is interwoven from the smallest insects and grains of sand to the largest trees and all the animals that depend on the fruits of the earth. You have taught us how to use the land responsibly. Help us to see what we must do to protect and restore the habitats and environment. As people bearing the image of God, we confess we have not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We sometimes forget that everyone is your beloved child. Help me play my part in bearing witness to your love. Help each of us to know the role you would have us play in welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, and comforting the imprisoned. As followers of Christ, may we encourage one another to do what you require of us. We gather this morning in body and in spirit, in person and online, with many needs among us. We pray for those seeking employment and struggling to make ends meet. We pray over those who are suffering and ask for your mercy and healing. Lord, bless those who are grieving the loss of loved ones, those who are lonely, those battling addiction or depression or other illness. Let each one know they are not alone. We extend our prayers and blessings on these prayer quilts today. May the knots that each of us tie and the messages we write in their cards, may they magnify the prayers they represent for Brian, Paul, and Barbara. And as they are wrapped in these beautiful quilts, may they feel the love and the embrace of you, dear Lord. Now in this quiet moment, we offer each one our silent prayers, laying down our burdens to the God who welcomes every need in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God of us all, as we live in a world complicated by borders and nations and systems, we honor those who have dedicated their lives in the service of others. We seek your divine intervention and lean on your desire for justice, even for the outcasts and the marginalized. Hear us now as we draw together and share the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we prepare ourselves for our offering time, may I ask the ushers to come forward. Let us continue to honor our God with thanks offering, with our treasures, with our talents, with our time, and most of all, with our life. Let us offer him our sacrifice of praise, give our hearts in service to him, for his blessings is always in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over in our lives. Amen.
Thank you much, Reverend Hazel, for inviting our offering this morning. I'm going to give a job to our ushers that they don't know about. When you guys bring the offering forward, if one of you guys wouldn't mind going out into the library, inside the library, there are a variety of items that were brought in by members of our church over this last week. Many of you are familiar that today some folks will be losing the benefit of receiving a federal program called SNAP, which is a food insecurity program that helps people who are hungry in our midst. And it feels disingenuous to me to not bring some of the elements that have been brought forward for Gleaners and for other food pantries in our midst. If you guys wouldn't mind picking up a couple of those things, and when you bring the offering forward, if you wouldn't mind bringing forward a couple of those items that have been donated, I want to remember that as we dedicate this offering to God, not only for the generosity, we're grateful for the generosity of folks in our congregation, but I also just want to be reminded of all of the folks in our community who are struggling to provide enough food for their families to eat. During this time, I'm going to invite forward Julie Swanson. She's going to be sharing a social justice awareness moment with us as we continue our act of worship together today. Please welcome Julie as she comes forward to share with us this morning.
Wow, it's been a while since I've been up here. On Mother's Day many years ago, I was invited to speak as a representative of non-traditional motherhood. And I must say today I'm here again to represent another chapter of that in my life. I've been a member here for many years. I'm the daughter of Gil and Myrna Henderson and have, I think, attended here for 26 years. During that time, in March 2020, which you may remember was the beginning of the pandemic, my 29-year-old son, Connor, announced that he wanted to be named Colleen. You can imagine I was quite shocked, although I'd seen signs over the years. She was beginning her transition to becoming a woman. And as you can imagine, that was quite the beginning of quite a journey for both of us and our relationship. Now, I confess that I'd been whining to God for many years about not having a daughter or a sister. I have three brothers and I'd had three sons. So I was really whiny about that. I'm sure some of you can relate to wanting something that you don't have, may not have. I was expert at this pity party routine. Sure, I loved my nieces and my nephews and the family that was all around me, but I wanted a daughter. And in retrospect, I realized something that many of you know, that God has a keen sense of humor. So fast forward, I have a daughter. Her name is Colleen. She's 36 years old. She lives in Grand Rapids and is thriving. And I must say that my daughter, Colleen, as Connor, was not a happy person. She was very anxious and never appeared to be comfortable in the body she was born with. I want to fast forward now to talk about the relationship I've had with people in this community during this process. My Phoebe sisters, Carolyn Combs, Cheryl Colleton, Suzanne, Felicia, and Lori, have all embraced me in my quest to understand and love my new daughter. And their support, kindness, and love was the thing, along with my family's acceptance, that got Colleen and I through this. I remember Alice, I'm not sure how to pronounce Alice's last name, I was reading a book about gender, and I mentioned it to her, and she said very tenderly and kindly, "Julie, I'd like to read that book when you're finished." And that gift of reaching out and saying, "I want to know what you're experiencing," was so, so appreciated. And my Phoebe friends gathered women's accessories, necklaces, scarves, jewelry, during some of the activities we had, and presented them to me and said, "Please give these to Colleen. She was starting anew and being reborn at that time," and they recognized her needs and my needs for support and answered in a Christ-like fashion that I really respect. Also, I think Thelma, one day, Colleen had, some might say rather flamboyantly, been shopping for some really extravagant dresses and things. And one of them didn't fit quite right. And I mustered the courage on a quilting morning to come and ask Thelma if she would help, forgive me, alter this dress so it would fit my daughter. And her radical acceptance and the radical acceptance of the individuals that have walked this path with me has been God's gift to Colleen, myself, Mitchell, my son. And I must say that these gifts are kind of radical in this day and age of division and segmenting ourselves in different ways. But I must say that these Christ-like friends have leaned in to this dialogue and leaned into this relationship with Julie and Colleen. And it's my prayer that one day you'll see Colleen here in this church, in this sanctuary, sitting beside me in service. Thank you very much.
Lord, we bring our offerings to you today in humble gratitude for the gifts you have given us. We thank you for each new day and each new person that we meet. Use these offerings to help us be more welcoming in our church home. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we conclude this service, I want to invite forward Bob Hemphill to give us one closing announcement as we wrap our service up.
Good morning, and thank you so much, John, for giving me a little bit of time. You know, I was just looking at this, and Thelma maybe can help me iron this. I don't know. This is pretty tough. This looks like my college days right here.
We can teach you.
You know, our church is about knowing God, loving God, and serving God. And the Salvation Army has a statement in their mission statement. Their Salvation Army is motivated by the love of God. Its mission is to preach the gospel of Jesus and meet human needs in his name without discrimination. I thought that was a very fitting or a very good fit for us. I want you to know the types of things really quick. Social service programs, food, shelter, clothing, and financial assistance. So this is what Salvation Army does. Disaster response services, assisting survivors and helping people recover their lives. Senior centers, clubs, classes, fellowship, housing, veteran services, educational programs, job training, job placement, youth services, family counseling, camping and crafts, and then also prison services and religious services. I wasn't sure everybody's aware just how much and how many ways the Salvation Army makes a difference. Also, just real quick, Salvation Army, I hadn't noticed this before, founded in 1878 in England. Wasn't founded in the United States. Came to the United States in 1885, and the Red Kettle campaign has been in place since 1891. So think about that time. And then thanks to Agnes Horschel, this program has been in our church for 25 years. Okay? So that's a big deal. Finally, sign up this year is done online. And it's at the church's website. Missions and outreach is where you go. Ring the bell for Salvation Army is what you click on, and you click on sign up after that, and you'll be brought to Sign Up Genius, so much smarter than your presenter right here, Sign Up Genius, and you're going to pick a shift, and we're going to put in name, email, and phone number. So if that sounds daunting to you, I want you to know I'm going to sit outside in the community room, and I'll take your name, email, phone number, and key in if you want to, the shift you're interested in. Okay. Last thing I have to say is my friend Darlene Howard at Salvation Army said they're down very much this year in terms of people to ring the bell. Okay. So I was hoping you could extend this message out to family members, friends, neighbors. They need help this year. They need bell ringers. Past what we're going to do for our church here, they need help. Okay. So I just want to make you aware of that. So thank you very much.
Amen. Sorry. Thank you so much. Thank you, Bob. As you depart from this place, you want your bell. Ring that all the way out the door. It's a great reminder. Amen. As you depart from this place, may you be called to uncomfortable places. May you think about the fact that none of us deserve to sit at God's table, and yet we are invited. So go out and extend that table to folks that might make everyone else in the crowd groan. The people in Zacchaeus' time were uncomfortable with the fact that Jesus invited him to sit at his table. That was also what transformed the world. We're all welcome at God's feast. Go out with the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.